Are your kids staging a rebellion against the sanity in your home? Is your child a living puzzle you can't understand? Are you craving insight into the minds of your adopted or stepchildren? There is a powerful way to learn how God designed them and how to guide them to their full potential, while also learning about yourself so you can overcome negative patterns that are stealing your joy. Welcome to Not So Normal Parenting, where we unravel the mysteries of family dynamics from toddlers to teens using team building tools like Myers-Briggs and the Enneagram. I'm Wendy Gossett, personality prodigy and parenting coach, best-selling author, speaker, and viral embarrassing dancing mom. I raised a son and daughter that are as different as Bob Ross and the Black Widow, and I am definitely not normal. Okay, let's dive into the beautifully not so normal together. If you're the parent of an INTP, you really want to tune into this episode. Phil Lockwood is an entrepreneur, and he and his family are YouTubers with a channel called Always Be Changing. They travel all over the world and have millions of fans that tune in to their channel. As a child, he struggled with social anxiety, and also in school, he talks about his kind of very all over the path, career path, and just how he came to be who he is today. And, you know, INTPs do struggle with social anxiety, and they like to know there's a system for understanding people, which is what Myers-Briggs is. I would love it if you went to my website at wendygossett.com, click on Get Started for my Understanding Your Family 101 session so that you can learn the system of temperament and teach it to your INTP. It will really, really help them in life to feel more confident when they show up. Enjoy this interview. Hello, everyone. Today, I am so excited because our guest is Phil Lockwood, and Phil is CEO, actually founder and CEO of Distill Marketing Agency. And I met Phil because we were working together with his son, Colt, who is an ENTP. And I'm just super excited about this interview. Phil is an INTP, super fascinating personality type, and that stands for introverted, intuitive, thinking and perceiving. And Phil, I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but I grew up with an INTP. Did I tell you that? That my brother is
I don't remember INTP? That.
No. Yeah. So I did. I grew up with an INTP. And so I'm really looking forward to this interview just to see if there are any similarities there. So I just want to know what Phil was like as a kid. So, and a lot of parents would probably like to know too.
I think that it could be any number of different directions that we could go with that. But I was very creative. So I like got into art as a kid and was very good at drawing. And that, you know, between that and wanting to be a pilot since I was about 2 years old, that pretty much dominated everything that I did and thought and said and focused on. So.
Now, hold on. So how did you decide at 2 years old that you wanted to be a pilot?
I get a straight answer from my parents. And of course, I was too little to even remember. My mom jokes that I came out when I was born. I came out going, like making an airplane my hand. But I do remember going to a Thunderbirds air show when I was really little. I don't remember if that was because I was into aviation or if it happened the other way around. I remember flying in an airplane with some friends of my parents when I was about that same age. So it's possible that it was during that period of time, or could have been a toy that I got when I was even younger than that. So I really have no idea, but as long as I can remember.
Wow, that's so interesting. And then you were really singular focused on on that. But that has not been the case for you, because that's kind of not typical of an INTP. And INTP has multitudinal, is that a word? Interests, you know? So they're possibilitarian, you know, possibilities are your friend, you know? And so has that always been the case for your singular focus, or have you had all these diverse interests?
Well, I would say it's kind of a combination in the sense that when there's something that I find I have an interest in, I kind of I really focus on that. I mean, to the point of just being obsessed with it almost. Mm-hmm. But that focus tends to change. So this is kind of where this whole concept of always be changing, which is one of our corporate values and then turned into our family values, really came from. You could call it shiny object syndrome or, you know, whatever. But
yeah,
I would say it's amazing that I went through my entire childhood thinking pilot, 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 because now the time span for these interests tends to be maybe more in months or sometimes even weeks versus years.
Yeah, so what Phil just talked about was Always Be Changing, ABC. That is his YouTube channel.
So again, Always Be Changing, the concept here is that some people think of it as a bad thing if you switch from one thing to another, but the reality is that's my personality. Erin, my wife's very on board with it. She's very supportive. So we've just decided that the concept of constant change is one of our core values. And last year, it was a little over a year ago, we decided to sell our house in Denver, which we had pretty much just finished customizing, to sell that and then instead buy in Coronado, where we've enjoyed vacationing as a family for, I don't know, better part of a decade. So decided to kind of document that journey by doing videos of that, and primarily on YouTube, but other social channels as well. And just kind of, I don't know, try to connect with other people who maybe can appreciate that mindset, even if they don't share that mindset of constant change in life, you know? And if there's something you want to do, do it frequently, do it as quickly as you can. Don't put things off. That was kind of the concept, is just deciding to go after, instead of planning for the life of our dreams, which we had been doing for years, to say, we're starting it right now. We're going to put it into action.
I love that. I love that. I have so many stories around that because I'm really similar to that as well. But this is about you, not about me. So as a kid, other than you coming out, you know, with your airplane, like your mom said, what would you say? How are you in school? Like,
started off really strong. Elementary school, very strong. Got good grades. I always was, I battled daydreaming a lot. So I would daydream through a lot of stuff, but luckily it didn't affect my grades or my ability to learn.
Yeah.
Started reading at a very early age. My mom says I taught myself to read when I was like four. So that really helped. And I really enjoyed math. So I had a good mix that helped me do really well. But
what kind of books did you like to read?
I'd say that once I got into like the heavier chapter books, that's when my interest in that started to really leave. And okay. So it was not a whole lot. I never got into the sci-fi thing. I wish I had, you know, like Elon Musk and all of this sci-fi stuff he would read all the time.
Okay. And so you said elementary school, you did really well in school. And then what happened in junior high and high school?
I would say in junior high, probably the catalyst for change was girls, girlfriends, and, you know, that really becoming a distraction. And so I started getting C's, which I thought was awful, but nothing compared to what was to come in high school. But just spent all my time thinking about girls and, you know, hanging out with girlfriends and just trying to, I don't know, find my way socially, I guess. And,
So I wanted to ask you about that because INTPs tend to not have a lot of game because they social interaction, like extroverted feeling, which is harmonizing in a social situation, kind of knowing, you know, what to do in a social situation, which is basically your wife, Erin, is completely comfortable in that. That is your most inferior function. And so what an INTP tends to do is tell it like it is, blunt, without any frills. Like, you know, you'll see truth, you'll see absurdity, and you'll say, that's stupid. You know, just plain on out. You'll call people on their BS, you know, their belief system. I got that from Personality Hacker. You'll call them on their BS, you know, and you don't sugarcoat it. And so tell me how that played out and how you were able to kind of get your game to you know, have girlfriends and all that. So how did that come about for you?
I was awful at it, and I think a lot hasn't changed. I mean, in terms of those types of interactions, social interactions, I feel pretty much the same way going to a party today that I would have in sixth grade. Luckily, I mean, I don't know when I first asked a girl out. I was probably in my mid-20s, and so I was able to rely on just having some girls who essentially asked me out. I remember my first girlfriend, Becky, in junior high, and she made everything happen. You know, it was like,
nice. She was probably like Erin, your wife. You know, just very knows what she wants and goes after it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't have to put any effort into the initial outreach, you know, getting that ball rolling. It was low hanging fruit for me. Whichever girls talked to me and initiated and that I found attractive in some way, shape, or form, those are the relationships that happened.
Right. So it's not that you had these dating relationships which were causing you to get C's. It was just that your mind was elsewhere, not on your studies.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you get really good grades? Well, you said you got C's, but were you able to do well on tests, like without studying, even though, you know, because INTPs, what I've seen in the kids that I've worked with and the families I worked with is that they might be playing video games 24/7, not doing well in their grades, but then they ace the SAT or the ACT because they're just brilliantly smart.
I didn't have straight C's, which is to say that I actually had you know, really good grades in certain subjects and then poorer grades in other subjects. So any of those like math where everything was just kind of logical and you could figure it out, I wouldn't have to do homework. I wouldn't have to pay attention in class and I could still test very well. And I got it up to a certain point. Once we got into algebra, that changed because there were new concepts that you have to learn.
You had to memorize.
You have to be taught the concepts. Yeah. But so like social studies was the very first class that I started doing poorly in. I didn't find it particularly interesting at the time.
Yeah.
And you can't make up, you know, history or global, you know, geopolitics. I mean, you have to learn that stuff. You have to read it. So without doing that, my grades really started to drop there. Same thing with literature. You're not going to score well in a test about Macbeth if you don't read Macbeth. So.
Exactly. How were you parented?
I do remember one time I was like, just kind of lightly kicking one of my sisters while she was standing in front of the mirror. I was just kind of like kicking her butt lightly, playing around, again, first grade or something. And she started crying. And then my parents, I remember they called me down and they were like, so let's talk about that. You know, that's not the way to behave. And kind of seems like, do you want attention? Because if you want attention, all you need to do is come to us and say, Mom, Dad, I kind of need some attention right now. And so I remember using that then repeatedly after that. Sometimes I'd be like, I just feel like I need attention. So I'd go tell, I need some attention. And, you know, they'd drop everything and give me some attention. Some of the struggles, I guess, of being one of eight kids, you know, sometimes you can feel like you need that attention. But again,
that's so interesting. Something so simple, such a simple tool, really helped you out. Now, so INTPs do have a lot of social anxiety, and I have worked with a lot of INTPs that, like, it really is debilitating for them. Like giving a speech, public speaking, it's scary for everyone, but to the point of where they want to throw up, it's just debilitating anxiety when it comes to putting yourself out there, because INTPs are very self-contained. They're very confident when they're on their own, and they're very confident in their belief system and their value system and their intelligence and all that. But when they put it out there in the world for people to observe, that's when they get very, very anxious. So I'm wondering if you experienced any of that.
Yeah, to get back to school. And, you know, having to get up in front of the class and do presentations, I don't remember that being much of an issue. But anything else where I felt like I was being called upon to perform in some way, shape, or form, certainly uncomfortable, and is to this day. I don't dance, never have danced, because I feel like it's performing.
What kind of activities were you in school? You know, what did you like? What did you not like? Sounds like your parents were too busy to try to force you into anything.
Yeah, well, like elementary school, I like doing pretty much anything physical like most kids do. So, you know, track and field kind of stuff, field days. I like running. I would run miles and miles with my grandfather and that sort of thing. Now, in junior high, when all of a sudden I was like, hey, I want to be cool. I was like, I want to play football because I think it's cool. So I joined the football team and I didn't bother putting any work into it, learning plays or anything like that. I just wanted to be in the uniform because I thought it seemed cool. Got into wrestling.
This is why the girls were asking you out, right? You're like, it worked. My plan worked. And then so wrestling too.
Wrestling in junior high, and then did that into high school. Also, I got into cycling, like probably eighth grade year, competitive cycling, and that was one that stuck with me for many, many years. So that was kind of my primary sport as a child. I worked at a bike shop for many years in high school too, so that definitely became a huge passion. But I was into outside of the sports stuff. I mean, my activities, I was very interested in aviation. So I started, my grandmother had an airplane. She started taking me up. I was flying when I was about 10. I started taking formal flight lessons at 15 or 14, soloed when I was 15. Anything space related. I was in Rocket Club, total nerd thing, which I'm super proud of, loved it. I probably built like 100 rockets as a kid.
I love it. So your number one function, introverted thinking, is such a unique brain function. And they've actually looked at EEG maps of the brain. I don't know if you know this, Phil, but out of 16 Myers-Briggs types, the INT brain has totally unique features to it that no other brain does. Like the way you problem solve, the way that you are able to just disassociate yourself emotionally from a problem and be super calm and go into that. And that analytical thinking and, you know, wanting to know how things work. And, you know, it sounds like you were kind of really had an aptitude for that at a really young age, like working in a bike shop and, you know, just understanding how things work and, you know, just clean data that's based on logic. And so do you remember taking a lot of things apart as a kid and wondering how things worked and the structure underneath?
Yeah, absolutely. It was just part of growing up. A lot of it would have to do with my personality, but also it was the environment. Like my dad was that way. My stepdad was that way too. So regardless of being at my mom's house or my dad's house, there was constantly like craft construction type of stuff going on. You know, as a kid, I was like framing houses and just building things. My dad had this big garage that was basically like it was a tool shed kind of thing, a workshop. And so every day on the weekends, I was up and building something out there. So to this day, a lot of people like Aaron will see me maybe fix something and say, where did you learn to do this? And I always say it's just from a childhood full of tinkering. You know, when you tinker that much, you just, it's more and more data. And so I think it's the primary reason that I am handy like I am today, I suppose.
Well, so when you have, you know, your number one psychological function for you is introverted. So you don't even really know when it's at work because it's not an extroverted function. It's not, people can't really observe it. So your number two function is your extroverted function, which is extroverted intuition. And that is exploring. And what happens with a lot of INTPs is because they have that social anxiety, that extroverted feeling is their infant function, they can tend to loop their introverted functions and become very, very introverted and isolated because they just don't want to bother with feeling uncomfortable in a social situation. So they'd rather just be in their comfortable introverted world. A lot of INTPs will get lost in fantasy because they find the imaginary world, that's the intuition, the imaginary world and fantasy, like video games, is more exciting than the real world. And so it sounds like the way you were nurtured was that you had that exploration, just low-hanging fruit right there. That's your secondary, extroverted intuition is your secondary psychological function. And that's where growth comes. That's where you find health in your personality. So for you, you were kind of forced to explore and to have these experiences. You made yourself get on the football team. You made yourself go out for wrestling. You had a grandfather that you ran with. And so you did that. You got on your bike, you tinkered. I mean, you had all these experiences that helped you learn from life. And that's what extroverted intuition is. It's learning from experience. And the way you parent an INTP is you basically just let them go. And it's like, even though you had all these siblings, and it might almost seem to you as an adult, like, wow, you know, what would have been like if I would have had more attention from my parents? But actually, it's what you needed as an INTP to just kind of be let go to explore and do your thing.
Yeah. So that's great that at least I would say both of my parents were kind of free range, my dad much more so. So that was very congruent, I guess, with what I needed to just be out there doing whatever I felt like doing on any given day.
Because an INTP, like I said before, can be extremely introverted. And so did you have to kind of fight against that urge to just be introverted?
And I would say I still feel like I do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's to the point where, because I believe our minds can accomplish virtually anything, I'm not 100% sold on that being who I am forever. You know, I feel like I could reverse engineer or re-engineer myself, hardwire my brain to be more extroverted, to be extroverted. For the most part, in the majority of my life, I have thought of being an introvert as a very negative thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people do, which is really sad because it's actually brain chemistry. Like introverts use acetylcholine, I think I said that right, which is a different neurotransmitter, which actually makes you feel better when you turn inward. And extroverts use dopamine, which makes you feel better. You get that charge when you turn outward. And so it's actually just brain chemistry. But our society tells us that it's not okay, you know, that we're supposed to have fun at the party and we're, you know, all that. And so I always call my INTPs that parents are parenting unicorns, because the introvert goes against society, the intuitive goes against society, because it's like being a left-hander in a right-handed world, because our society is meant for the sensors of the world. The intuitives are in our head. We're more in our head than we are seeing details in the environment. You're thinking about what if and what could be and what I'm going to invent and what I'm, you know. And then the thinker part, that's typical for a man because most men are thinkers. But as an INTP, as a kid, it can make you not make eye contact, not smile, not be demonstrative with your emotions. And that goes against society because you're supposed to be this friendly and smiley and not a truth teller, not, you know, like you're a truth teller. You call it like you see it. And then, you know, the P goes against society as well, because society says, make a goal, you know, go after that goal and check things off the list and stick with one thing. Don't change. Don't always be changing, you know? And so all of those things go against the way society is. And for some reason, we think that we need to mold ourselves into that, which you have done to some extent, but yet you've kept that original, unique side of yourself. So
I remember one time I decided I wanted to make my sister a kite. So I got up at 4 a.m. on Saturday, like I always did. And I went out to the garage and I pulled all these materials together and made this kite that wouldn't even fly. It was awful. But, you know, just little projects like that, that I would always be working on something. I always had some kind of a project that I was involved in.
Yeah, I think that our world today has shrunk. You know, I think it's shrunk to this, you know? our phones. This is, you know, and so an INTP can hide in that. You know, they can just make their world be this and a screen and video games. And you did not grow up that way. And so, you know, I just think for parents of INTPs, like, get them out there with new experiences and maybe not the traditional, like, be on a team, because that's going to make their social anxiety come out and their performance anxiety come out. But get them out there on a horse ranch, get them out there on a, you know, tinkering, get them out there just in the, you know, where they can explore, camping, hiking, Boy Scouts, you know, you brought up your nerdy rocket club, you know, just places where they can go and not feel pressure to do the right thing socially, but they can have these experiences. I mean, it sounds like that was just so valuable for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Just thinking about how he really pushes me outside of my comfort zone in terms of the activities that he wants to be a part of. You know, I'm like, let's keep things close here. Let's stay at home. Like I said, not that free range thing, but he is so into sports. He always wants to be outside. He decided he wanted to start fishing, and now he wants to go fishing in the bay all the time. I mean, it's wonderful to see how much he is just fighting to be able to explore and to experiment. And, you know, he breaks everything, and it's like daily. And I remember being that way as a kid too. Things, I had a shingle that was on a shed, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting texture. And then I learned that if I bent it enough, it would just have this satisfying snap and break in half. And so it's just destroying this roof on this shed. He'll do stuff like, so I really remember that every time. I don't yell at Cole for breaking things. I just try to get him into a mindset of recognizing. And so I have this little trick that I use with him. Chickadee check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know, the Ice-T song, Ice-Cube song. I want to get him a watch or something that just vibrates like once every 5 minutes. And just to say, when you feel that vibration, think about what you're doing right now and whether or not it's a good idea. But when I would get in trouble for doing those things as a kid, why did you do that? And I'd be like, I have no idea. I mean, I just felt like doing it.
Well, you've said a couple of things that are really not, like you said, isn't that every kid? Well, you have a couple of kids. Who does that more?
Well, destroying things?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's the only one.
Yeah. So it's not every kid. It's the kids. These are the kids that parents are calling me about. It's not their kid. Like Erin, your wife, she's an ESFJ. They don't call me about their little errands. They call me about their little fills. And so it's not every kid. It's, you know, the INTP, the ENTP, they're so curious and they learn by doing. And so it just seems like they are bent set on breaking things and being that typical Dennis the Menace kind of kid, but that's not their intent.
Well, it was very atypical for one thing, because I don't know if we've talked about this, but I went to the Air Force Academy and I was only there for a year and a half and resigned. And then I went to the University of Colorado, two partial semesters. I basically dropped out two semesters in a row and never went back. So I have no degree. And even the time that I spent in college was without focus, without progress, really. But in terms of the social component, it was challenging partly because of my military service. I mean, moving around a lot, I think it really makes it difficult, especially for an introvert, to not have those lifelong friends that you then go to college with and then still hang out with. I mean, I had none of that. I was making all new friends every 6 to 12 months during that period of time. So it was a lot of, I guess, loneliness, but not in a depressing way, just in a this is life kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's so interesting for parents to know that you landed on your feet, even though you went into the military. That didn't work out for you. Did you just, with the discipline of that, was that just crushing for you, soul crushing for you?
No, that was awesome. I mean, like, in high school, my bedroom, when I finally got my own bedroom after my brother moved out, I mean, I had everything in its place. I hyper organized. So that aspect of military really suited me.
Yes. It's like you had no choice, like, because you, INTPs can be scattered, that squirrel syndrome that you talked about right now, which you've been able to find that beautiful balance, you know? And so as a younger person, you really liked the structure of that. And that's actually your tertiary function is introverted sensing, which is Aaron's number two, but it's that comfort of structure. And, you know, like you said, having those friends and those memories, and, you know, that's like a comfort for, to you. And so, you know, the comfort of the military then, but so that's not why you got out. So why did you get out? And
I only was in, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. And once there were military cutbacks at the time, and Air Force Academy graduates were no longer getting pilot slots. So once I decided, unlikely, that I'm going to become a fighter pilot, I was like, no more need for me to be in the military at this point. I'm going to go do something else.
Was that a big identity crisis for you, since you had been wanting to do that your whole life?
Yeah, exactly. I remember after resigning from the Air Force Academy, just a matter of months later, I had a conversation with my parents over the phone where I was like, this is a first for me, because every day of my entire life that I can recall, I've known exactly what I was headed toward. And now I have no idea what I'm going to do. So it was an issue. I mean, in reference to, you know, the mental health stuff that you're talking about, I never felt like clinically depressed or anything, even though technically you could say I was depressed, because I just wasn't as happy-go-lucky and focused and driven as I had been previously. But it was just kind of a boring question mark of a time for me.
I think a lot of INTPs, though, in college especially, will kind of numb themselves with alcohol or with drugs now, like marijuana, you know, so that can come into play too, like substance abuse, to just kind of escape from reality in that sense.
Yeah.
And so, but I want to point out to parents that you took a really traditional path with the military and then college, but that path wasn't your path. And INTPs can tend to be that type, that they can take a traditional path or not. And you ended up becoming an entrepreneur. So you found your way just with your intelligence and your exploratory nature. You found your way. So can you talk briefly to how that happened, and maybe encourage parents out there to, you know, if your INTP doesn't take a traditional path, don't despair?
Yeah, I definitely think that personality component has played a lot into what I've been able to accomplish. And I'll say that professionally speaking, even though I own an agency that's been successful for a couple of decades now, I still feel like I'm coming up way, way, way short on where I should be on the professional side, what I'm capable of. But more as like a father and as a husband, I feel like I was able to intuit what I should be doing along the way. And that's what I'm most proud of. Some of that happened, almost all of that growth actually happened since Aaron and I started dating. And, you know, she's such a good example of what a marriage is supposed to be about. But also when my oldest daughter was born, I'd say maybe when she was one, right around that time, I went from being kind of a dick, you know, very focused on image and I wanted to be like, have a Hollywood lifestyle, to saying, no, I want to be a dad. You know, I want to be a good father. And it really settled me down and I started making better decisions there. So we didn't even get into this, but, as a child, I would do things that were very questionable morally, you know, stealing stuff. I was actually arrested one time in high school. That's a whole other story. But so then,
I'm glad you said that, though, because for these parents that have INTPs that are like, he seems a little too perfect. I'm glad you pointed that out.
But yeah, I was able to figure things out, was to get my myself to a point where I am an upstanding member of society and without other people forcing me to do it. You know, I think when, like, to go back, circle back to the beginning of this discussion, that the desire and the capability to really reverse engineer, figure out how things work is what allowed me to do that, to understand this is who I need to be. This is what I need to be focused on. This is what's important, and to turn into somebody who's, like you said, I don't think my parents, had any reason to ever worry about me if they ever did.
So everybody check Phil out. He's, you know, if you need marketing, he's a whiz at that, the Distill Marketing Agency. Where can they find you as far as that goes, your website?
My website is distillagency.com. And we might actually have a link from our personal or family website, which has links to like all of our social.
Thanks so much, Phil. Thanks so much for listening. It would be way too normal and expected for me to ask you for a review. So if you learned something new or just wanted to show the love, instead I'll just say, eat some soup. And that'll be my special way of asking, but not asking. So eat some soup. It'll make you feel all good and warm inside. And as a thank you, I'd love to offer you two free resources. The first is a beautifully illustrated ebook entitled 14 Instant Ways to Form a Deeper Connection with Your Child. And the second is a free child temperament test and video for gaining new insight into one of your children. You'll find these free resources at wendygossett.com. And you can also check out many helpful articles, as well as buy a copy of Your Child's Inner Drive, Parenting by Personality from Toddlers to Teens. Or maybe you're ready. You're tired of riding the cranky train because there isn't enough peace in your home. So make the move and sign up for my Understanding Your Family 101 Brain Mapping Personality session. There are scads of helpful videos on my YouTube channel at Wendy Gossett, including the silly one of me dancing in a blizzard on the highway, embarrassing my child. So until next time, friends, keep dancing through the quirks and chaos of parenting, because who needs normal when you can thrive in the extraordinary?